Well, hello, David. It looks like it's another week, another movie.
Yes, welcome to Rampant Flickers of the Crimson Screen.
Oh, yeah.
How are you, Anthony?
Oof.
Oof. Okay. Oh, well, I know it's Sunday. It's awful. Monday, it's back to work.
Yeah. So much fun.
Yay. But we're not talking about work today. We're talking about a movie that you've chosen.
Yes, the movie I have chosen for this episode is Eve's Bayou, a 1997 cult classic for the black community. So, David, this is your first time watching this.
And I loved it. I actually loved it. I loved the acting, the story. Everything was just spot on for me.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, I'm just saying, okay, so was this like your first time hearing about this movie?
Yeah, I never heard about it before. I'm not even sure it was released or shown on TV in France. I might be wrong, but I never heard about it before. And I'm very knowledgeable about independent movies. So. And this
So,
one seems to be a big budget as well, because Trimark is not a small company.
well, actually, it didn't have a big budget. It only had a budget of $4 million. I guess that is kind of big for independent film in 1997, right?
It
But it actually grossed $14 million domestically. So,
Well, that's pretty good.
good for them. Eve's Bayou is a 1997. Wait, before I read the summary for you, what would you classify this movie genre-wise?
Family drama, I would say, mostly.
Okay, that's interesting because growing up, I always viewed it as more of a horror film.
Oh, okay.
It's actually, according to Wikipedia, it is a Southern Gothic drama film. It was written and directed by Casey Lemons, who you may know behind and on the screen. You know, she was in Candyman, The Five Heartbeats, and she was, I think she was on an episode of Murder, She Wrote too, so you might have seen that. But she's got a long filmography over here, and she also directed the new Whitney Houston movie and Harriet. Those are She seems to do well with period-esque pieces, if you will.
I just see you've been bringing out the gays, Murder, She Wrote, you know, the title of that show. But yeah, and I just realized also that a lot of the actors in that movie, I actually knew them. And it was weird because I said, oh, I recognize a person. And I need to actually go to on IMDb to check and say, oh, yes, of course.
Let me get back to reading what this, you know, the synopsis is about. But so basically, Eve Batiste, a 10-year-old girl, lives in prosperous Creole American community in Louisiana with her younger brother Poe and her older sister Cicely in the 1960s. Their parents are Roz and Lewis, a well-respected doctor in Louisiana's African American community who claims descent from the French aristocrat who founded the town of Eve's Bayou. One night after a vivacious party, Eve accidentally witnessed her father having sex with Maddie Moreau, a family friend. However, Cicely, who has a very affectionate relationship with her father, convinces Eve that she misinterpreted an innocent moment. The unreliability of memory and observation remain important themes throughout this film. So,
I agree. The memory stuff, actually, but we're actually more the memories for what we actually really want to believe in. It was very interesting.
Yeah. Especially seeing Cicely's character basically implant those memories in.
No. Let's be honest. Everyone in the movie did that one way or another, if you think about it.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the cast. It does star one of my favorites, Lynn Whitfield, because as we always say, she may play evil, but she never plays broke. So, oh, she always does such a good job of playing, like, you know, the villain, the villainess.
Who is she playing?
She plays the mother.
She was not villain.
If you really look at the context of the movie, she was, because in a way, she was sort of helping the father groom Cicely, if you really think about it.
Yeah, but at the same time, the way I actually looked at it, it was all about secrets. The movie was all about secret, about how actually the family tried to keep a secret.
And
especially during the scene when she woke was actually the sister of her husband, and they talk about actually like one day she's going to look at you for the first time. So for me, it was more actually about keeping a secret and actually keeping appearances, more likely.
Well, for me, it was a little bit more about manipulation on this part and grooming. But the one thing that really made me feel more of a horror film this time around watching it was Megan Good, who plays the sister. Like, I love Megan Good, but she plays the older sister, who's 14 at the time, Cicely. And watching it now as an adult, she was oddly, you know, she was oddly womanish for a 14-year-old. You know, it was kind of almost creepy.
It was actually the way I looked at it is as actually with a good portrayal of the Freudian idea of actually a kid will actually a woman of a girl would actually fall in love with her dad and actually want to kill her mom.
Yeah,
and that's actually see that on the both on Eve and also the older sister.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen this movie in a very long time, so watching it now with a fresh perspective through the eyes of an adult, I'm just like, this is really creepy.
It was creepy, and I would say it's a movie, I think, that the more you actually live and experience life, actually, the more you see things that you would not see before.
Exactly. Like
especially about toxic relationship is one thing, and secrets and how bad secrets are.
Yeah.
How bad manipulation of memories is as well, because the ending is pretty obvious that, that was hard eating.
But see, we're not going to spoil it for you, but in the end, did you feel like you knew the truth?
No. I actually feel that despite the fact that we had two visions of what happened.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, I think the dad could have covered himself up, and actually the sister as well, and the mother too.
Yeah.
And the entire thing about, I think Eve actually ended up with a trauma at the end that actually, I kind of wish it would have actually had another movie just looking at Eve's experience as an adult, because that would have been interesting to see how she going to reproduce a pattern she saw as a kid.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess if they're listening to this podcast, it's more than doable. They're all working actors in Hollywood, so let's get on it. You know, one weird thing that I noticed watching this movie is how the father has no relationship at all with his son, Poe. Like, he doesn't talk to him throughout the entire movie, and it's really weird to me.
It is weird, but I must say the actor playing Poe was not that great.
Yeah, but it was just like, he only seemed to talk to the women, and he I don't know if that was intentional. I think it was, but
I think it was, yes.
Yeah, I just realized that watching it, I was like, he never has any direct contact with his son.
I know. It was I think the way I'm looking at that movie and the fact we're seeing the auntie experience through the eyes of a child.
Yeah.
Of Eve, and you actually see Eve growing up, and we don't want to spoil the ending, but I've seen the last maybe 20 minutes. It's a moment when actually Eve stopped being a kid and actually started to actually become an adult.
Yeah, at the beginning of the movie when she says, "My name is Eve, and this summer my sister was 14 and my brother was 9, and this is the story of how I killed my father."
Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm thinking about the movie and I'm just thinking, okay, there's a lot of magic in it. There's a lot of actually I don't want to say conjuring, but like more like fortune telling and seeing the futures and actually visions.
Well, everything that you just described is part of conjuring as well.
Okay, so it's conjuring. Okay, I'm just useless at this. But at the same time, they always make you doubt if it's real or not. Mm-hmm. For the simple, I'm going to try to explain why I thought about this. It's just like doing this meal, this famous meal, when they actually had an argument. Actually, the dad said that his sister is mentally ill, actually went to a mental hospital.
Yeah.
Then actually, you have this fortune teller in the market. Who actually give information, give the future to someone. But at the same time, we also know that the entire village talk about each other. So everyone know of every other people's businesses.
Yeah.
So in some way, is it actually really something that she saw in the future? Or is it something she made up based on information she actually learned about actually the people? Because after all, that wife was actually the doctor's wife. So everyone knows her. Mm-hmm. You see, and even the ending, the murder, if I can I say the murder, is it really a murder or is it just because something was meant to happen?
Well, because of the it was a murder, the doctor sir. Was that's clearly a murder. That is a homicide. No, but
it's not the daughter who's done it, that's what I mean.
Yeah, but I mean he was we're not gonna spoil it, but anyways.
But the daughter, is she responsible for wishing the death of her dad, or is it actually something that would have happened anyway, based on actually the action of the dad itself during the entire movie? So there's this kind of, we can look at it as just a drama, we can look at it as a horror, like you say, gothic horror, whose magic take part of it. I really enjoyed it.
And, on the Wikipedia page, I do see where they're talking about how the movie came to be. And they said that the screenplay actually originated as a series of short stories, and the children were the first layers in the short stories. Lemon was inspired by childhood trips she took to Louisiana, saying she wanted to write a story about people who were like royalty in a small town. Louisiana has a unique history in the U.S. It was one of the only places where slaves could buy their freedom. Even in the 1700s, there were free people of color who had citizenship because the state was owned by the French. Though this story is not, an autobiographical, Lemon said, "There are definitely pieces of my family in it, and that the writing process was therapeutic, as it allowed me to process things that happened to me, things that I was still wrestling with. At the core of Eve, it's me and my childhood, and wrestling with how powerful I was as a child. How did I fight my way through uncomfortable situations and the distress that I felt." Okay.
Yeah, I can see. I see that really the character was very well written. There's one thing I actually found, because I did ask you that question after watching the movie. I feel the movie's universal, because despite the fact I read it's 1962, mm-hmm. It's supposed to take place in 1962, we don't have this the codes of the 1960s in the movie. It could be any time. Actually, first I thought it would be actually 1940s. Okay. Because there's no TV. they had no TV, the kid are still playing outside, like there's no, for me, it really felt universal. We could actually pinpoint the time of actually, of the movie, which I really enjoyed. We don't do movies like this anymore, unfortunately. I miss this kind of movies.
Well, let's, I guess let's also talk about the father who was, as Eve would describe, a lonely man.
Yeah.
What?
She was very lonely.
Well, actually watching this, I do find Samuel L. Jackson's portrayal of the father to also be a little on the horror nose, because it's like when the women turn their backs on him, the face he made just kind of creeped me out.
I agree. And he was amazing in this role. I must say, like, Samuel Jackson, actually, like, he kind of nailed the roles. We're so used to see, to hear about him actually stick on the plane and everything else. But there he was really doing a dramatic role, and he was amazing in it. It was surprising to me, because I'm not used to seeing these kind of roles. And yeah, he was creepy. He was fucking creepy. We can feel the alpha male. Also, I believe we're using his... the fact he was a doctor to kind of, you know,
yeah,
playing with things he shouldn't be playing with, like other people's wives.
Yeah, and he was supposed to be a descendant of John Baptiste, right?
Apparently, yes.
I'm sure he played that up.
I'm sure.
And it's funny that I do remember a lot of The Conjuring in this movie. I feel like that's what drew me to it more when I was younger. But now, as an adult, I see a whole bunch of themes in here, you know, that I was like, this is a really deep movie.
It is. Manipulation is a big, big thing in it. And even that... There were some scenes I was just like, especially when the beginning, when he's talking to his daughter Eve, after Eve just seen him pretty much cheating on his wife, just saying that my wife is the most beautiful woman in the world. I was just like, yeah, right. What are you doing, man? Anyway, it was so creepy and so actually like alpha male-ish in some way.
Yeah. And it's like the women just flocked to him. I was like, okay, that's weird. But as the seer said, it was like, I think they said every Baptist descendant was supposed to die anyway. So,
Yeah, and but maybe I'm going to sound controversial, but that was much more interesting, the story of his sister.
Yeah.
Because, there's the rich family, actually, like, with doctors cheating his wife and everything else. And it was very interesting about the sister who believed she was cursed because every man that she loved would end up dying. And it was so tragic. And the way it was portrayed in the movie was so gorgeous, the fact that she could actually see in the mirror the ghost of his other lover and see what happened. She remind herself about what happened. It was just amazing. I love that character. I love the sister's character. I actually prefer the character of the sister because I feel she was more tragic than the character of the dad.
Yeah. And speaking of, Lynn Woodfield's character, the mom, you know, she thinks she's moving in, she's marrying this doctor and she's moving into the swamp, you know, to have this beautiful life. And then it turns out, you know, that she marries, as she says, just a man.
Of course. But I would not mind actually living in a swamp in the house they had. Right? Yeah, the house was gorgeous.
I know.
It's okay. Give me the swamp. If you want me to give me the house, yes, please.
Oh yeah, but so we also need to talk about the fact that after the mother visits the seer, she locks the children. She basically locks them in the house for like weeks because she says that your children are going to die. You know, you need to
protect the sister them. Saw the sister saw a vision before passing out about a kid being gonna be run over by a train or a bus.
Yeah, and then the basically the mother was just like, okay, no one leaves this house. Nobody goes in, nobody goes out.
And I really did love her. Even he was a very small character, was the grandmother.
Yeah.
Because every time she had something to say, it was in Creole, and it just made me laugh because I could understand what she was saying. I was like, oh gosh, this is so cool. She was like the voice of reason in some way.
Yeah.
Like, it was very interesting.
Look at you. I love it.
Well, it's a good movie. I enjoyed it. That.
Yeah, I had to make up for making you watch 8 Crazy Nights.
Yeah. I know. That was terrible. But overall, I think, like, that scene was actually like the older sister and the dad was actually, I do agree with your CQ about it. It was very nightmarish, that scene. The way it was shown by actually the director. There's everything. There was actually the nighttime, the rain, the storm. Mm-hmm. It was like a really, really kind of a scene of a horror movie. And I kind of wonder if actually, I have a feeling that she was raped.
Yeah, same.
Thinking about it afterward, they actually found the blood. Basically, when she was hiding the blood, basically, on the underwear.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking about it, I think she was raped by the dad. But we never know.
Yeah, we never know the truth. I feel like that goes on in a lot of families, though, like,
That's what you were telling me. Yes, actually, like, black family are very good at keeping secrets.
Well, and also that, you know, this movie, I think it kind of speaks on a lot of what goes in a lot of, I can only speak for the black community, but for whatever reason, black families love to hide a predator, you know? So I definitely saw it speaking on that a little bit, and I'm just like, okay, yes. As an adult looking at it now, I definitely see that Megan Good's character, the only reason I feel like she was just so, you know, out there for a 14-year-old was because, you know, she was pretty much groomed by her own father in a lot of ways.
Yeah. And actually, I don't know if you realize as well, the fact is at one point when actually when the older sister go to the beauty salon and she come back, and she almost looked like the mom.
Yeah, I know.
That was creepy.
Because it was basically giving vibes of, I went to go see my man. And what about it? You know?
I know. Or even say, I want to become my mom. And I want to actually take the place of my mom. And actually, if you think about it, that scene actually really shows she tried to. And she actually got more than she bargained for. She just realized actually the dad was a man. Because before the dad was actually that amazing person, that was a dad, and the dad become a man when actually he abused the daughter.
Yeah, I see. I think it's very weird though how all the women in that family just seem to be drawn to him. You know, like Cicely, basically, and then Eve herself. You know, they seem to just be in love with him, and it's just really weird to me.
It's a smile. I'm sure it's a smile.
Because as a kid, I just saw him as like a good father. But now as an adult, I'm just like, ooh. You know?
I know, like the Eve, go and play outside. I'm going to give some medicine to Mrs. whatever his name was. I was just like, okay.
Yeah. And that's on period. So what else did you like about this movie?
It was beautifully shot, and if there's one thing that actually I miss a lot is in the 90s, we had some movies like some I want to say period movies in some way that was beautifully shot, and this one was one of them. The lighting, everything was amazing. It was just like gorgeous to watch. It reminded me of this movie by what's his name? Not Kevin Costner, I'm talking about. The other one, Clive. Oh, I can't remember his name. He's playing Dirty Harry. What's his name? Clint Eastwood? I think Clint Eastwood movie. I think that actually, like, there might be a lot of that, but he was more of with a white family. He was, I need to check the movie. Hold on a second. I'm going to find it. It was the same. It was actually about, it was pretty much about the South as well, the family of South and secrets. It was a bit the same idea, but in a white family instead. So, and it was the movie. Oh gosh, he'd done 45 movies. Shh. Damn. Why did he do so many movies for? In a Garden of Good and Evil, I think it's called.
I think I've seen that.
In a Garden of Good and Evil, I think it's called that. Yes, Midnight in a Garden of Good and Evil from 1997.
Yes, I have seen
it. And it was a movie that, it reminded me of that for some reason, about the secret in families, like rich family secrets.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Oh, so, by the way, as I see as a fun fact on these Bayou pages, that the house that was used, you can actually visit it. It was, it's called the Otis House, and it resides at Fairview Riverside State Park in Louisiana, Madisonville, okay. Louisiana. So.
I can go next time. In a car this time.
Oh, okay. And I do love Jussie Smollett. You can definitely tell her facial expressions carried on into Lovecraft Country.
I agree. It was funny to see her actually as a kid, and actually I remember Lovecraft Country. I said, "Oh, okay, it's her."
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing is with me, like her and Megan Good, both Megan Good plays Cicely, is that I grew up with them in almost everything that I watch. So it's they've always been consistent. And, you know, Jussie Smollett's biggest breakout was with Lovecraft Country. And now, you know, Megan Good is leading Harlem, which is a big Amazon Prime show. And I love that for them to see them both thriving, you know. Still acting, but
there's one thing I was thinking as well, is just like I think in those days it was very rare to have actually a black woman vision in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very interesting because I remember in the 90s, what did we have for about a black story about black people? It was mostly gang basketball or all these things, which is like, it's never about a story about a family the way it was, and it was very interesting to see that side of it.
It was. And also the guy, you know, that points the gun at him is also from the other movie I made you watch.
Which one?
Tales from the Hood, remember?
Okay.
He played the, you know, when the, I think it was the Klansman. No, it was the Klansman. Remember? He played the assistant to the.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I wonder what happened.
Let's talk about him. That was the only thing. That was the only thing I found weird in the movie.
What?
It's a small movie. From the beginning of the movie, actually during the party, we just realize everyone talk about each other. Mm-hmm. That everyone know each other's secrets. Yeah. And you're telling me that actually the husband doesn't know that his wife cheats?
Well.
Everyone knew but him.
Yeah, I mean, you'd be surprised how much that happens.
I was just like, okay, are you sure you don't know?
Yeah, is that I want to say that's not uncommon, because I've had friends that have went through that, where even their family knew that someone was cheating on them, but the family didn't tell them. It's crazy to me.
And I did love the fact is the way Eve was just like, yes, yes, I think your wife is like a lonely woman, just like my dad. Oh, you're staying in New Orleans late sometime? You're staying there? Just like my dad. My dad's come back late as well. I was just like, oh my God, this is so fucking creepy.
And my favorite part, though, is when she takes the woman the $20 and, you know, she's like, I want him dead. And she's like, I can just, you know, make him stop, make him protect you. She's like, no, I want him dead. I'm like, calm down, girlie.
Well, she loves her sister.
I know, but I'm just like, calm down. She was mad.
The Conjure was fun. She was a fun character as well. Very kind of a very Scooby-Doo baddie in some way. The cackling laugh, actually. She's living in a swamp. She's actually have some weird things basically in her house.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like me.
Oh, I love that. About you. But she's a... She was fun because it was actually two sides of actually the conjuring side. There was actually the sister of the husband, and mm-hmm. there was actually her. There was two different ways of portraying conjuring. I think the woman in the swamp was much more a classic way of looking at it,
mm-hmm.
and actually the sister was much more was an interesting thing. Was just kind of a parlor, like a conjuring parlor. She was just like, it felt more of a business in some way mm-hmm. than actually the other one. The other one felt forbidden.
Yeah, but I love it when she's like, I don't need to read bones to know your future. I was like, the Black Widow.
I did love the fact, just like, oh, my friend is a septic. No, she's not. She's doing it in a side job. Accepting. What?
Oh, yeah. I feel like as a kid, like, that really what drew me in. But as an adult, I feel like the themes now is what makes me stay.
But it's a very small part of the movie.
But as a kid, you really looked for those more than... you know, the grooming and manipulation part.
No, it's true.
Because, like, when I was a kid, you know, I see basically how I spent my summers. Because, you know, even though I didn't spend my summers in Louisiana, you know, in Mississippi and in Memphis and places during the summer, it all pretty much looks the same, to be honest. Mm. So it just really gives me fun memories of that. But I don't know. I just saw it as like this magical kind of movie when I was a kid, more so. It's like that intrigued me more. But now as an adult, like, because I haven't watched this movie in a while. And yeah, it's just like, yeah, it is. Well, I wouldn't say it is a small part of the movie, because to be honest, the entire movie is a lot of the plots are circled around, you know, the visions that they have. So. In a way. But this also makes me think about, what did you think about her being able to grab people's hands and see their soul, basically?
Ooh, Eve or
the sister? The sister. Not Cicely, but you know, the older sister, the one that has the vision.
The husband's sister.
Yeah.
Well, it's something that I heard about before, so it didn't surprise me.
But when the man comes and he's like, where's my wife? And she takes his hand. She's like, oh, your wife's not coming back. She's in love with somebody else. I was like, okay.
But is it really? Or did she just like lust it for the lush hair? That lush hair of that black man who's an artist. And,
Yeah, but fun fact, that man is actually the director's husband now.
Oh, okay.
And I do find it very cool that this was the first movie she ever directed. So I think she did a good job.
She did. And I was reading a bit about it afterwards, and apparently there's a director's cut. Unfortunately, I haven't seen.
Yeah,
she was saying that... She was forced to cut a very important character in a movie because of the movie company to release the movie, which is a shame. I couldn't find the director's cut, unfortunately.
Okay, well, the director's cut is on, if you're in America, the director's cut is actually on Roku for free, but it's like, it adds another...
If you're in France, it doesn't exist, just to let you know.
But I just want to say, the movie itself is 1 hour and 40 minutes long, and the director's cut is around 3 hours, so be ready to sit in.
Sit down. Okay, I need to watch the director's cut, because I enjoy spending that time in that universe. I want to actually have it more. Okay. I wanted more of it. Yeah, so I think this movie is maybe underrated for a lot of people. I never heard about it before. So I guess it's still like a cult classic, but not actually like that well known, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
But it's worth watching.
I was going to say that another interesting fact that I saw is that apparently in 2018, the film was selected by the Library of Congress for preservation in the United States National Film Registry as being culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant. The film was made part of the Criterion Collection on October 25th, 2022.
That's good. It's quite nice to actually have a story about a black family without racism involved in it.
True.
Like, it's quite nice.
It's, yeah.
And they were well rounded. And
don't worry, guys. Yeah. I won't make him watch Mississippi Burning.
I've seen it at school. Oh. So that was a film we seen at school, and I still had a nightmare about the scene with the testicles. The testicle scenes is still a scene that actually I really scared the shit.
Yeah. For me, this movie is, I think I mentioned it to you in a few episodes back that we've done, is like, to me, this movie is all about memory and how we perceive things. And it just makes me wonder, when I watch this movie, maybe 10 years from now, if I'll still have the same, you know, if I still see the same perspective. It just seems to change the older you get. So I feel like that's why it's worth watching a few times, you know.
I agree. There's very few movies like this, and this is one of them. Actually, it's a movie when you can go back to it and revisit it years afterwards, and you actually have the same joy of watching it, but at the same time, you have another point of view of things. Like, I can imagine for straight people, if they actually seen it as teenagers, and then they actually see it again, being parents, for example, they might actually see something different in the movie. You see? It was really, really cool. It was a good surprise, I would say. It was a very good surprise. Please give me some more.
So how many crystals would you give it?
I would say 4. The reason why I give 4 out of 5 is because I wish I could have seen director's cut.
Okay.
So I can't actually give more because it's been cut in some ways.
Sir, I think you're missing your own crystals. Remember, it's a scale of 1 to 10.
Okay, 8. Oh, it's after the early days, sir. You know, we've been. We haven't been recorded. For
I was like 4. I was like, oh wow, you hated it.
No, I loved it. No. We, our viewers need to know that we're recording quite a few in advance, and actually, it's been like a month we haven't recorded anything. So we need to get back into the, you know, the things. And 8 out of 10.
Yeah, for me, I just give it a 9 out of 10 because I don't know. I've always loved this movie. I've always found it visually pleasing to me just to watch. I love most of the actors in it, even today. You know, I still enjoy their work. So it's a win-win for me. Yeah, I love it.
Okay. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I want some more of these, like this.
Okay, David. Speaking of, over on our Instagram account, you know, if you're a fan of films, well, we tend to share a lot of movie quotes if you're into that sort of thing.
Good and bad ones. There's a bit of a mixed bags. Some people love this, some people hate it, but it's still
movie. Yeah, quotes. I mean, you know, we love our negative feedback as much as positive ones. So. Thanks.
Next time, we're going to most probably have a very interesting episode.
Okay.
Because it's going to be an episode recorded in France.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Because Mr. Anthony is coming to France and we're going to be watching a movie that maybe is a bit parallel with the experience that Mr. Anthony would experience while coming to France.
Fun. All right. Well, I guess I'll see you guys in France.
Yeah. I guess so. Everything will be on the Instagram.
Is there anything else you want to say? So,
no, nothing. Nothing else. I guess we're gonna be wrapping up for tonight, and see you next week. In two weeks.
Yeah, this is the most awkward outro we've done.
I know. It's just like we need to actually rework on it because this is so weird. 2023 is gonna be hard. So yeah, so see you in 2 weeks time, and bye-bye.
Bye.